Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 7. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christmas is a time of giving and receiving. For our society, Christmas and presents are almost inseparable, and with it, the Christmas tree and the presents are almost inseparable. But do you know how the Christmas tree actually came about? In the 700s, an English missionary by the name of Boniface wanted to share the gospel with people in Germany. However, when he got to Germany, he came to a small town, a small village, and he found that all of the people were worshiping a sacred oak tree. Well, this was a problem for Boniface, but his solution was simple. He grabbed an axe. He chopped down the oak tree, and in front of all of them, and in its place, he planted an evergreen tree, a Christian symbol. And when these Germans saw that Boniface had stood up to their God and won, they took it as a clear sign. We're on the wrong side of this thing. For them, the Christmas tree wasn't about family and presents. It was a warning to follow and worship the true God. 1,400 years before Boniface had swung his axe, God said through Isaiah, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel." It's one of the most precious promises there is for Christians. Our faith hinges on this promise. Larry King, that famous interviewer, was once asked, if you could interview any person, who would it be? He replied, it would be Jesus Christ. I would like to ask him if he were really virgin born, because the answer to that question would explain history for me. The virgin birth is paramount to our faith. God says the special birth will be a sign. So what do you see when you look at that sign? Do you see it as just part of the Christmas story that we tell our children when they're young? Is it a myth? Just a bit more hocus pocus that was passed down by people who didn't know any better? God wants us to see more than that. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we conclude our preparations for Christmas, may God, through his word, give us the ability to say, the Lord himself has given me a sign. For in Christ's birth, we have a sign of judgment against faithlessness. And we have a sign of God's love for those who stand on his promises. If anyone needed a sign, it was Ahaz. Ahaz was the king of Judah, and he liked the thought of God being close to him, and he had good reason for it, because right at this time, there were two nations to the north of Judah who had teamed up against him and were trying to overthrow Judah. And the first time that they had attacked, Ahaz watched as 120,000 of his soldiers perished. And Isaiah says that the hearts of Ahaz and his people trembled as the trees of the forest tremble in the wind. And so Ahaz went around and he set up altars all over the place to all sorts of different gods, wherever we could fit them in. Whoever he was, whoever could help, he wanted to keep God close to him. Which kind of makes his reaction to Isaiah somewhat surprising. God sends Isaiah to Ahaz with a very simple message. This plan that these nations had concocted against Judah, God says their plan shall not succeed. It shall not take place. In other words, Ahaz, the true God, Not all these false gods that you've set up. The true God is going to keep you from trouble. He promises. And just so you can be sure, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Ask for it, either in the depths below or in the heights above. Wouldn't we like that offer? I mean, I think we all believe and trust that God is going to work things out for us, but I don't think any of us would turn on a special, specific sign just for us, would we? But Ahaz, he gives God the cold shoulder. I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. It almost sounds pious, doesn't it? I won't trouble God by asking him for a sign. I won't burden him. But God knew that while Ahaz's words almost sounded faithful, they were actually faithless. It's not that Ahaz didn't want help. He had already sent messengers and money to the king of Assyria to come down and rescue him. No, it's not that Ahaz didn't want help. It's that Ahaz didn't think that God was the one to trust. You see, he wanted God close, but not too close. Not so close that everything would have to depend on God. Not so close that the real power was now out of Ahaz's hands. It sounds almost pious. But look at God's response. Will you test the patience of God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign for all of you. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel. Ahaz wasn't the last person who wanted God close, but not too close. This year, countless of millions will gather in Christmas services and sing carols and unwrap presents placed underneath a tree with an angel on the top. But sadly, in how many of those churches are they going to hear that the message of Christmas is just loving each other and not seeing God's love in sending his real son as our real savior for our real sins? Or hearing that there are many paths to heaven. Or it doesn't matter what you choose to believe in, as long as you believe in something. It doesn't matter if you believe in the story of a virgin having a baby. We love the trappings around Christmas, don't we? But we often miss the treasure. Do you ever want a God who's close, but not too close? When money's tight, is it natural to spend more time wringing your hands in worry rather than folding them in prayer? Do you ever comfort yourself with the thought that even though your friends don't know who Jesus is, it's not going to matter because they're good people? It almost sounds pious, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe, right? It almost sounds pious, but in how many of those homes will you find families who decide that in order to keep the peace, they're not going to talk about their Savior? And how many of those homes will you find that the gifts underneath the tree will be the only things of value? And all the while, God's word still echoes. Will you test the patience of my God? It's not too often, I don't think, that we view this promise of Jesus as a warning. But when God told Ahaz that the virgin would give birth to a son, it was not a comfort for him. Emmanuel was coming to show Ahaz and the world that whether he trusted him or not, God was the truth. And when you don't stand with the truth, you don't stand at all. Now, this doesn't really seem to fit with the Christmas message, doesn't it? This doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of good news here. But the good news is there in God's offer. Listen again. God says to Ahaz, ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Isn't that amazing? Wicked King Ahaz, idolatrous King Ahaz, faithless King Ahaz, God looked at him and he said, it's you I want. I want to come to you. I want to win your trust. I am your God. I want to save you. And that's what God wants us to see in this coming of Emmanuel. His birth of the Virgin Mary is a sign that says two things. For those who doubt God's word, it's a warning. But for those who trust in him, look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. That describes who Jesus is. And the angel told Joseph in our gospel to give him the name that describes what he does. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God didn't just give a sign. He gave his son. He gave a savior. You see, God wasn't just content to be close. When God draws close in his love, he comes all the way. And because you stand on the promises of God, you hear him telling you in his word that your sins are forgiven. And so you can say, God is with me. You remember your baptism when God's son said to you, my father is now your father. And so you can say, God is with me. You come to the Lord's table and you trust that Jesus' body and blood are present with that bread and wine. And so you can say, God is with me. King Ahaz pretended that it was testing God to hold him to his promises. Never think that. It is not testing God, rather it's trusting him. It's believing that Jesus is exactly who God promised he would be, your Savior. It's knowing that when you stand on God's word and on his promises, you will not fall. I pray that this Christmas will give you an opportunity to ponder at this sign and this wonder that God has given to us. And as you do, remember those two things. This sign brings warning for those who try to keep God close, but not too close. But more importantly, this sign promises a Savior born for you. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.